Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. Trust you're having a great Thursday morning. We are preparing tonight. It is Thursday. It is August 9th, 2018, and we are beginning our marriage workshops this evening over at the Ministry Center in Bella Vista, and all are welcome to come. Even if you're single, you are being invited to come, and maybe you're thinking about having a spouse or getting married or wanting to learn a little bit more before you do get married. Well, this will be our 26th year together, Patricia and I, in full-time ministry, and we have throughout the years spent some quality time in ministering to marriages, and we recognize that marriage is the most fabulous, amazing, God-ordained ministry on the earth. That's the very first thing God created after he created man. The very first institution, quote-unquote, or ministry is marriage. And it seems to be one of the most attacked realities in our world today. We have a perversion of marriage, where now men marry men, women marry women. It's all the satanic perversion, and those who are married are under a full frontal attack to bring the numbers of divorce through the years has been ascending, and so everybody's trying to fix this thing, and we're going to believe that God, who is the manufacturer or the creator of marriage, the one that, you know, divine willed it into existence, created it, he knows how to take care of one. And I am telling you, it is going to be a very rich marriage workshop, and we don't know how long it's going to go. All we know is that tonight is going to begin, and Patricia and I have already this morning been in the Word and found and discovered some more nuggets. I'm telling you, if you need nuggets, there is liberty. There is liberty for your marriage. There is success for your marriage. There is a blessing for your marriage. And for those that feel hopeless and those who feel there is no hope, I've heard it all, there is nothing we could do. Listen, I had my back up against the wall where there was no hope and no way out about 18 days ago, and God made a way where there seemed to be no way. The only thing we need to do, each one of us, is be willing to obey the word of God, which simply means look at the instructions. And you're going to be amazed at the liberty that the instructions of God actually give when it concerns marriage. And obviously, God's highest intention for marriage is something that Patricia is getting a massive revelation on and a download. So we are excited. And we don't care if you're 80, 90 years old, or if you're 20 years old, or 15 years old and you're married. I don't. It doesn't matter to us. Marriage is a very rich blessing in the body of Christ. It's the only relationship that really shows the relationship to Christ in the church. And so I can't wait. I'm going to be there in support of my beloved wife, Patricia, and actually work alongside of her and allow this ministry of marriage that's so deep in her heart to be brought forth. And I'm excited about that. And tonight, 7 o'clock, over at the Ministry Center in Bella Vista, Arkansas, we want to welcome you to come. We want to welcome you to come. And you know what? All are welcome. That's all I could say. And I encourage you to come. Now, obviously, we're not experts, okay? But we have in the last 26 years married over 25 couples. And as we understand it, at 23 of those married couples, I think it's even more than that right now, are still together. I mean, man, there's been a great success rate. Why is that? Because we do attempt to spend quality time in counsel with people who come to us with their relationships. And sometimes people just call upon us and they want to get married. And, you know, it takes, you know, an hour to realize what's going on through the Holy Spirit's wisdom. But a lot of times we spend quality time with people to really make sure things are moving in the right direction. And you just wait for the Holy Spirit to witness. But we've seen a great success rate, and that's really good. And so if your marriage is fabulous, come on out. If it's not fabulous, come on out. We want to share in this great ministry that God has given to all of us. I mean, if you're married, we have something in common. Maybe you've been through a divorce. You need to come on out. Maybe you'll find out some things that happened along the way. It is a time of ministry of the Holy Spirit to marriages. We want to inspire them. We want to encourage marriages. We want to pour the water, the oil, the wine into those areas that are a little bit harsh. When it comes to marriage, or maybe just dry. And we are going to call upon that anointed word of God and the Holy Spirit's anointing to really do a great work. So again, tonight at 7 o'clock at the Ministry Center in Bella Vista, I'll give you an address to that, by the way. The address to where we're going to be tonight, if you don't know, is 2262. That is it. 2262 Forest Hills Boulevard, Forest Hills Boulevard, and that is in Bella Vista, Arkansas. So 2262 Forest Hills Boulevard in Bella Vista, Arkansas. And I'll make mention of that as we go. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we begin our marriage workshop, and it's very untraditional. I'll guarantee you that. It is extremely organic, and yet there is a divine order to the things that we will be doing, and trusting the Lord for that. And I know Patricia's going to do an outstanding job, and together we're going to hopefully see a tremendous amount of humor along with tears. We'll see what the Lord's going to do with this. But again, you are cordially invited tonight, 7 o'clock Thursday night, and it will be this way every Thursday here on out until it is complete. We will be ministering on marriage. Patricia had for years, she's been ministering on deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, her book, her roundtable discussion, and it just came to her attention and mind that it's time to shift now into marriage workshops. And so, however tonight begins, remember one thing, it doesn't matter how we begin, it's how we finish. And so tonight is the beginning. If you want to join us for the journey, you're welcome to do so. We invite you to do so. Also, put on your calendar that wonderful date again, September 23rd, September 23rd, and that is the eve of the Feast of Tabernacles. That is Sunday, September 23rd. We had our first meeting last night, our little miniature meeting, up on the Ark with our team who's going to be hosting the Feast of Tabernacles. We are nothing more than disciples that the Lord has asked us to provide for this great feast. And so we're going to put our hand to the plow, and it's going to be a very busy season around here for New Wine Ministries. I will be busy inviting ministers, and there are so many wonderful people out there. But our main aim right now is to bring Daniel Seckham. He joins me every week from Australia. He's a beautiful man of God. He has great presentation of the things that God has put in his heart. He's been fasting and praying about these things. And so we definitely want to begin to pray for his successful arrival. We do need to raise funds for the Feast of Tabernacles. Obviously, when you're going to be celebrating for 8 days and you're going to be having breakfast every morning, lunch every afternoon, and then little things in the evening, and then, you know, just taking care of things. So we are going to be raising funds. If you're out there and you want to participate in supplying the Feast of Tabernacles, know this. Number one, you're supporting and you're supplying for the Lord's feast. And I cannot imagine that you would do that and not be super blessed for doing so. So we have to get an airplane ticket, a round trip ticket from Australia for Brother Daniel. We'll be putting him up during the week that he's here. And then we need to get some food together, some other items. We just purchased a smoker and barbecue, nice ones. It was $700 that was just purchased so that the Feast of Tabernacles will be fully equipped to do some great barbecuing and some great cooking along the way. And we always love doing that. So we're talking about that. And then, of course, honorariums. We're going to have different speakers coming in. We're going to have musicians coming in. And so, you know, a $10,000 budget is probably right in the ballpark to celebrate. And so, again, if it's something that is in your heart you would like to support, that is also purchasing the tent and the chairs. Our dear friend Lori Bankston did that every year, and she just passed away a few months ago, and we miss Lori very much. And her blessing every year was to supply a tent, and that was approximately $1,000 with the chairs and tables and all that good stuff. So I would say safely between airplane tickets, tents, food, honorariums, a $10,000 goal would be great if you are wanting to participate in that. Again, all you need to do is contact us. There's all kinds of ways to help us. And I also want to rejoice that we received one of our very first blessings. There's a man out there, and I can't go into detail. His name is Donald. And there's that gives about $30 a month, as I understand it, to the Omega Radio Ministry. That was one of the only. We just received a $100 blessing from our dear friend and pastor down in Florida. I don't even know if he wants me to tell his name, but they gave a $100 blessing. It took us a year to get our second $100 blessing. At the very beginning, we received a $1,000 blessing to start the Omega Radio Network. And we have been in a very unusual place with this ministry, the Omega Radio Network. It has not yet become as well known because we're a grassroots people. It seems like we always do things from the very beginning rather than, you know, just launching where others already are. But we've been obedient to do what God told us to do. We do broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we are struggling because it takes a lot of work every day to maintain and to keep things updated. And yet Kyle's been doing this quietly behind the scenes for over a year now. And I continue to do what I do, and Patricia does what she does. And we still are here, but the financial income to inspire this and to really get it beautiful just has been a little slow in the coming, but we trust that it is going to grow a little bit more. So we're hoping for an exponential thrust. So the Omega Radio Network is doing very well. We are broadcasting as well on Blog Talk Radio. And on Blog Talk, we spend $100 a month to continue to do what we do, which is a really great deal when you think about it. But God told us to build the Omega Radio Network, and he told us to broadcast 24/7. He told us to get names that are relevant for the days that we're living in so that their message could go forward. And we still have not yet fulfilled that the way it needs to be done. I believe there are some great voices out there that need to have their place. But we're just not there yet. And We're up and running, which is awesome. But, you know, there are tweaks here and there. There are, you know, what I eventually see is our radio room being built, which they are doing over at our ministry center. They are preparing a radio room where we'll be moving everything most likely into that place. And, you know, and then more computers and more technical people will put their hands on and, you know, things will begin to develop and grow, hopefully. And my prayer is that Kyle will actually lead that whole thing. That's what I'm putting the bid in for, because he is truly an outstanding man that knows how to get these things done. So, but we've done our best. And again, I want to thank that individual, that couple that gave $100 to the ministry. It was one of our very first within, I could hold up one hand and say, for the people that gave to Omega Radio, it was a real pleasant surprise. We're just doing this as we go. So these are the things: the marriage workshop, the Feast of Tabernacles, September 23rd. Get ready for 8 days. You should, if you're listening abroad, call into the hotels, get yourself a reservation right around now for the 23rd all the way to about October 2nd. You know, that's how long the feast will be going on for. And that's it. Marriage workshops, Feast of Tabernacles, Omega Radio Network, still breathing. Praise God. And we have a feeling, you know, one day it could be as successful as God wants it to be. But hopefully it's being a blessing to people everywhere. We're looking at some of the numbers again. We want to welcome all of our friends out there in Facebook land and Messenger and those that are listening by the internet around the world. Again, we just bring a blessing today. I want to begin in Psalm 66. So if you have a Bible, I want to bring this, and this is prophetic, okay? This is the Psalm of David, okay? And it is a prophetic word for you and I, for us, if we have an ear to hear, an eye to see, and a heart to understand, and a faith that is willing to apprehend the promise, okay? And you're going to hear the promise. You're going to hear the prophetic word as we go through this psalm, and I'll get to that one point, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just let it explode on the inside of you. So here we go. Psalm 66, verse 1, to the chief musician, a song or psalm, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. And that word terrible there doesn't mean you're really bad at it. It literally is talking about Yara. How revered, how inspired, how awesome. How dreadful in the realm of awesomeness are all your works. Wow, isn't that awesome? And so, through the greatness of your power. So again, verse 3, say unto God, how terrible, how awesome, how revered and reverent art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of your power shall your enemies submit themselves unto you. So the enemies of God are going to submit through the power of God. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Verse 4, all the earth, someone say it with me, all the earth shall worship you and shall sing unto you. They shall sing to your name. Selah. In other words, stop and think about that for a moment. That means there's not going to be one contrary spirit on the planet when the Lord is done with his work here. By the time the Lord finishes his work on planet Earth, the whole earth will worship. All the inhabitants of the earth will sing unto the Lord. They will sing to his name. Wow. Verse 5, come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. And again, he's awesome. Verse 6, he turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. So he's talking about the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. They went on dry land. Okay, they went through the flood and they rejoiced. Verse 7, he rules by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Think about this. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, rebellious nations, do not exalt yourself against God. His eyes are watching. Verse 8. Oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Can you imagine if all of God's people right now would begin to sing the praise and the worship to the King of Glory, Yeshua HaMashiach, and to Abba Father, and just begin to praise? Could you hear a song going up into the atmosphere right now of prophetic worship? Oh, my goodness. Verse 9, which holds our soul in life. Listen, bless our God, verse 8. You people, make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holds our soul in life and suffers not our feet to be moved. You have been put and situated on an immovable, an unmovable kingdom, an unshakable kingdom. God is holding your soul in life, and he will not allow your feet to be moved off of his rock, because you've built your life upon the rock, who is Jesus Christ. But here we go. Verse 10, excuse me. For thou, O God, has proved us. Yeah, there's no way around that, is there, folks? Thou, O God, has proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Okay. Now, what's the purpose of being proved and tried? To see if we're really his, right? Do we really have faith? Are we really God's people? Is our faith genuine? Well, through the trials we go through, it's faith that brings us through. That's what it says in Peter. Every trial, every hardship is designed to be a test to our faith, to get our faith strong, because it's the most precious commodity in the last days. Okay, so verse 10, for thou, O God, has proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Verse 11, thou brought us into the net. You laid affliction upon our loins. Well, let's look at a few things before I get into the prophetic word. You have proved us. Do you know what the word proven means? It's bakan in the Hebrew. Bakan. It literally means to examine, to test, especially metals. All right? So God is testing the metal. He's proving the metal. He's examining. It literally means he's scrutinizing. And he is investigating your life and my life. He did it for the Israelis. He's doing it for you and I, the ecclesia. Okay? So when it says here that he bakan, you proved us, you proved us, and tried us. The word tried is a little bit different. It's saraf. And it means there, listen to this, to refine or to fuse together metal. To refine, like a goldsmith, to melt, to purge away, to melt a metal. Now, you know, and I know, that the trials that we go through in this life, whether it's within ourselves, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our marriages, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our finances, within our health, in business, work, relationships, it doesn't matter. Everything that comes to us, God, when you belong to God, every trial is a testing. It's an examining. It is an investigation. Why? Because God is not going to rest until he finds what he's looking for. And that's the pure gold in your life and in my life. So again, for God has proved us. You have tried us as silver is tried. Verse 11, you brought us into the net. Now, why would God bring us into the matsud? And that's the Hebrew word, the matsud. In other words, he's saying, you captured us. You brought us into captivity, into the castle. You brought us into the snare, the strong place, a stronghold. Why would God do that? Why would God bring us into a place like that? You brought us into the net. You laid affliction. upon our loins, the muaka, the affliction, which means pressure, compression, and distress. So the muaka, you've laid affliction, muaka, pressure, same as the great tribulation, same meaning as tribulation, philipsis in the Greek. It's muaka in the Hebrew, and God literally laid it. The pressure, the distress, the compression, that actually comes from even a deeper root word, uk, the uk. And there it literally means pressed and straightened. I mean, God has just laid this pressure upon what? The loins of the people. What are the loins? Well, it's the mothen, and it means literally the waist or the small of the back, the side, okay? And so what is he doing? This is a burden. He laid this pressure on our backs, and it was a heavy burden. But why? Because God, again, is testing us to see how much we can bear. How much can we handle? You know, a lot of people give up and quit. And if they would have just gone the extra mile, that's what Jesus taught. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. You know, it's just right there most of the time when people just say, I can't go another step, and they give up and they stop, that just beyond that moment came the blessing. But for those that have allowed God to lay upon them these heavy burdens, that those who have gone through the fire, those who have gone through the pressure, those who have gone through the distress, it was God who did what? It was God. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction, distress, pressure, compression. You did it upon our backs. You did this. Why? Well, verse 12, here's the prophetic word. You ready? Thou hast caused men, you caused men to ride over our heads. What does it mean? To rakav, to ride. Well, it's whether it's an animal or a vehicle, and it means to basically to dispatch forces to be above your head, to ride above your head. Why? Why did God do that? Why did he cause men to ride over our heads? Well, verse 12 continues, we went through fire and through water. What does it mean to go through fire? Well, everything we've just been talking about, literally the word fire in the Hebrew is ash or ash, if you will. And do you know some of it literally means to be flaming hot? Even at times, a supernatural fire or a altar of fire or God's anger. Okay, well, they went through the fire of testing. They went through the burning, fiery fire, flaming hot fire. And guess what? A lot of people don't think they have what it takes to go through this stuff. But the writer here says, you caused all these things to happen, men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. And here's the prophetic word for you right now. For those of you who have stayed the course, for those of you who have hung in there, for those of you who said, man, this is a heavy burden on my back and I don't think I could do it, but you did it. When God proved you, examined you, brought you to your wit's end, when God thoroughly went deep into the very essence of your existence and he pointed all that fire in the depths of your heart to purge out all that dross, right? Well, here's the end result. But, it says in verse 12, in the latter part, but, after all that, but, you brought us out. What does that phrase mean? It's the yatsah. You brought forth an exit. Watch this. You brought forth and you made a way. You allowed us to depart. You caused us to go forward. You allowed us to proceed with purpose as a result. In other words, when the fires did their work, when the pressure did their work, when all these things, the examining was done, God now released the people with a purpose because he got the result he was looking for, a people. And so he brought us out. He led us out. He delivered us from this season of testing and narrowness and pressure, right? And then where did he bring us out? He brought us out into a wealthy place. Someone say, I'm coming out into a wealthy place in the Lord. Now, what is that word wealthy? It's revayah, revayah. And you know what? I love this. It literally means saturation. God is about to saturate your life. You who have carried the heavy burdens and have not given up. You who have continued to endure the process of discipline. You who have endured this work of God that was a burning, impossible fire. He brought you through impossible situations, but you've stayed it out. You've humbled yourself. You bowed the knee and said, God, I am bowing not because I'm giving up the burden, but I'm bowing to you to accept the burden that you've put upon my life. I deem everything I'm going through, you have allowed to happen to me. You have brought it to straighten me out. You have brought it to bring me into perfection. You have brought it to bring me into maturity. You have brought it to refine the gold in my life. You have brought it to bring about faith in me, the most precious quality in the last days. And now, God, since I have bowed and submitted to you with the burden, not to relieve myself of the burdens, not to get rid of the narrowness, not to put an end to this kind of difficult discipline. No, I am yielding to you. I'm humbling myself to you. And God said, okay, I got what I wanted out of this vessel. Now I'm going to saturate it with satisfaction. Oh, my goodness. Are you ready to be saturated with satisfaction? In other words, the Ravayah is the runneth over. He maketh my cup to runneth over. It literally gets into an abundant drink or the abundance of God. Are you ready for the abundance of the saturation that will bring satisfaction into your life? You've been through the fire, dear friend. This is the prophetic word. You've been tested. You've been tried. You've been proven. Somebody out there has got to hear this word. And let me tell you something. The more difficult trial you have been through, the more satisfaction you're going to receive. The more saturation, the more abundance that God is going to bring into your spirit. We're not talking about material things here. We're not talking about money and cars and houses. That is a simple temporary byproduct that God will bring along. But I'm telling you that I know that when that deep spiritual work of God is going on, he's undoing personalities, attitudes. He's dealing with the junk and the mess of our lives. He's dealing with rebellion and pride and jealousy and envy and lust and all the different things that are associated with the flesh. Well, I'm telling you, for the believer that hates those things, God has had to do a deep work, but he's going to bring the saturation of satisfaction, the revayah, and it gets into a primitive root, which means rava. Okay, and what is the rava? Listen to this. To be satiated or saturated or to be intoxicated, to be drenched. Man, I love these things. To be intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will bring that intoxicated reality to your life where grace has worked alongside of the time of testing and trial. You're coming out into a wealthy place. I guess I could have said it that simply. You're going to be soaked. I'm just looking at the Rava again. You're going to be soaked, satiated in the abundance of what God has for your life, because you overcame the time of testing. You've passed the test. You produced the result of humility, humbleness, submission. Do you know that God cannot use your life or my life until he gets the divine result of submission? Jesus went to the cross because he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus, I'm going to say it again. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. That's why he was able to go to the cross. Jesus, our example, was God was able to move through him. Jesus said, I don't say a thing unless Father tells me to say it. I don't do a thing unless Father tells me to do it. I don't go anywhere until Father tells me to go. Jesus was so perfectly, absolutely submitted that God could move through him. And now God's bringing up many sons that he wants to move through all over the world, but he cannot move through a vessel that's not submitted, broken, and yielded to him. So he has to bring us into these trials to see whether or not we're going to. And when, and because we have yielded, submitted, been broken, God is now going to raise you up, and he's going to send you forth, and he's going to equip you with an anointing to do the works that Jesus did. Oh my, do you understand in these last days what God's going to do? You are the answer to people who are in darkness. You are the answer to people who are suffering, because there is a miracle working power that's going to flow through your life to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. I'm telling you, there's an anointing that God has reserved for the prophetic third day in a people that have gone through the fire that are now coming out into a wealthy place. It is time for the kingdom of God to express itself, because Father God desires to express himself through his people who are connected to his kingdom. And it is time, but he could not invest that kind of power to a people that were not submitted. My God. My God. It's time. And God is saying now, listen, now the acceleration begins. Now. I'm telling you, it's over. You watch and see. Somebody out there has gone through the fire, gone through the water, gone through the testing, gone through examination, gone through the scrutiny of God. You've been tested to your mettle. You've been looked at by the eyes of God in your innermost being. You have seen yourself like Job, who said, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see you and repent in dust and ashes. Or the Apostle Paul said, I thought I was righteous according to the law, but when I saw Christ, I saw the rottenness of my soul at the core. Oh, when you see those things and then you confess and repent and get the grace and mercy of God to take it away, and you are now submitted to God, those burdens are going to be lifted. The burdens that God put on the loins, the fire is going to be turned down. Hallelujah. The scrutiny is over. God has done it. And you're coming forth as a son and daughter of the Most High, equipped with the power of the Spirit in an hour, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to explode around the world, even at a time when farmers are killing themselves in Australia, where thousands and thousands of cattle are dying because of famine, because the stupid people that are running the country of Australia made the same stupid mistake that the leaders of America made by promoting what God condemns, by offending God, by blaspheming the holy name of Jesus Christ. And of course, now the judgment is hitting and there's sorrow everywhere, but will they repent? I don't know. We're still murdering babies in America, still marrying homosexuals and lesbians, and we think we're not under judgment. Oh, yes, we are, but God has a plan, and you are the plan. You are the plan. You see, it's an amazing moment. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled all around us. I mean, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many with a false gospel, peace and safety. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Why? Because they did not endure the time of testing. Are you being tested in your relationship right now with people? Are you being tested to receive an offense? Are you being tested to take on a bitter root? To hold a grudge? Are you tempted and tested in your life in all these areas? Well, again, if one fails the test, they're going to fall into this reality. They're going to be offended. They're going to hate the body of Christ. They're going to betray. But those who have passed the test, when this day that Jesus is talking about, known as the Great Tribulation, he says it in Matthew chapter 24, he says there'll be a time of tribulation that never was before the beginning of the world. I'll read it in just a second. Let me do it right now. Here's what it says in verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So endure in love. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, that's probably the 12th imam of the Islamic reality standing in the revived temple of God in Jerusalem in our last days. Then when you see it, those who are in Judea, you better flee to the mountains. Let everybody else get to your safe place. Verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight to the wilderness, the mountains, be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened. You see, there's a tribulation coming that's never been before. You can't tell me 70 AD was a fulfillment of that word, because what came after 70 AD? 6 million Jews in Nazi Germany just 70, 80 years ago, whatever it was. Come on. And there's one coming that's global, a persecution that you shall be hated of all nations, which means all nations will be under the power of the Antichrist. You can't tell me that has been fulfilled yet. It hasn't. It's coming. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. If you don't endure this time of testing, if I don't endure this time of testing, we won't be. I'm now telling you by the Spirit of the living God that this season of testing that you have been in, where you have yielded to the Father in total and complete surrender, rather than walking away from the testing, I'm telling you, your season's over. You're going to see the saturation of God's Spirit in your life. You're going to see an exponential growth in your life. All those moments you spent saying, well, where is God? Why hasn't God, like Job, when he was being tested, he had a lot of questions. That's okay. But he stayed the course. Everybody has questions. Where is God? Why hasn't he done it? I gave this. I did that. But I haven't seen the results. Well, it's not time for the results yet. You were under the test. But you passed and you said, hey, whether or not God does it or not, I'm not budging. And you didn't. But now God's saying, I'm bringing you out into a wealthy place. And isn't it going to be fine? Hey, let's open the telephone lines right now, see if anybody's out there that would like to join me in this conversation. Are you ready to come out of your time of trial? God said it's time. You're not going to stay in it forever. Your season is over. Is that you? Number to call, 818-369-0326 is the number to call. 818-369-0326. You know what? And then you have to press one on your dial pad, by the way. I get so excited about these kinds of messages because I know that they are balanced with what's coming down the pike. You know what I'm saying? We don't abandon the reality of the judgment and the harshness and the pain and the lamentation, what's coming on this earth. We just know that God is dealing with his people in an altogether different reality. And he's preparing us for this time. And while there's famine in the world, you're going to have plenty. That's a promise of God. So I'm here to equip the body, and I just know that there are people that have been going through really hard times, and I'm going to prophesy to the body of Christ a wealthy season, which means a saturation of your life. God's going to do it. And the production and the producing of the fruit all around you, people are going to see it. They're going to say, my God, how are these people prospering at a time like this? They've only seen you in the time of trial, but you had to anoint your head with oil. You had to appear not to be fasting. You put on Christ. You did what was right. I'm telling you, God's going to bless you big time right now. 818-369-0326. Now, we could shift. We could talk about all the stuff, man. It's real. It's happening. It's coming quick. The global snare, the persecution, the tribulation, the outrageous pestilence that's on the way, the Islamic terror that's coming, the next false flag event, artificial intelligence, spyware, persecution, Nazi Germany times a million. Yes, it's all coming. It's at the door. It's ready to happen. Now the fall begins. But what about you? How are you going to enter into that moment? Fully equipped, fully saturated, fully anointed, because you accepted the trial. You came to a place and said, you know what? Whether I live or whether I die, I am not bowing my knee to the king of Babylon. Sound familiar? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace and said, I am not bowing down. I am not bowing. I've got 7,000 Elijah that have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. No, this is a test for an end time people all over the world. I don't know how many people are listening to my message, but I know there's 7 billion people on the planet. And I believe that somewhere, somehow, God has got to get this message out to people everywhere who have been going through hard times. And God is just wanting to encourage those who he needs some people to know your time of testing is over. You need to stand still now. The fire is being turned down. You gave to the Father the proper result. He's accomplished something. You've changed inwardly. And now he's going to saturate your life with his goodness. At a time when the world's getting really dark. Don't ever despise a trial. I know they're not fun. In Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us over and over and over again, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Whom I love, I chasten, reprove, and rebuke. I lay stripes on my kids. Why? For our benefit. 818-369-0326. I want, and you know how that psalm began again? If you go back to Psalm 66, I love this. You go back to Psalm 66 and you get to verse 1. How does it begin? Make a joyful noise unto God. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible, how awesome are you in your works. Oh my God, the works of God in your own life. Though through the greatness of your power shall your enemies submit. Hallelujah. All the earth shall worship you. See, God is doing something. God is doing something, and he's doing something in you, and he's doing something in me. Verse 8 goes on to say, oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Oh, man. Isn't that good? That is good. Listen, the trial that you're in, the trial that you've been in, it's not going to kill you physically off the face of the earth. What it's doing is killing the stuff that can't move forward in the eternal purpose of God. That's all. God has a specially designed furnace of affliction just for you. He had a special furnace of affliction for Israel. He has a special furnace of affliction for you, for me, each one of us personally, as though we're the only person on the earth. God has a special purpose, a perfect furnace to bring us through to get the result he's after. Let's talk to our friend Kathy and Ken over in South Dakota. Good morning, dear friends. How are you today? God bless you.
Good morning. Yes, I'm just sitting here looking at the lake, but I am listening to your program, and I can identify with what you are talking about, the trial, the test that you go through in life, this journey where you're on. And then I open up a devotional book every morning, and it's reading in the book of Psalms 132, and the verse is 13, and it's about the blessings of being chosen, for the Lord has chosen Zion. So We are Zion, aren't we?
Absolutely, we are.
So, when this is all completed, which God has done now, and that word that you spoke the other day about the fall has started, I mean, then as you see things happening in the natural and the political, it's true. It's true. We've entered that timetable. So I just say, thank you, Lord Jesus. The time has come now for the glorification, praise God, of the Spirit of God to be brought forth in his people. And we're going to come forth, and God, through Jesus Christ, is going to receive the glory.
Amen, he is. And you know what, Kathy, is we're looking at this, talking about being chosen. Isaiah 48, verse 9, for my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake. So that word furnace there is the forging, smelting pot where God does his work in his people, and he is doing a great work in his people. Praise the Lord. Thank you, dear lady. Great. God bless you. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You can stay on the line with me. Let's take our next call. Area code 715. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Sir, you're talking about trials and tribulations. And I was thinking about how, and then how results after, but I was thinking about how the Lord would, the trial and I went to, well, Saturday I was lifting up trusses and things with the men, and Monday morning I was on a helicopter heading for a hospital because of heart condition, and I had a triple bypass heart surgery. That was a trial, but we came through it, Lord and I and my wife. And then a few years later, I had a trial, and I went to the, well, I wasn't feeling good on Sunday. Went to the hospital day, and they told me I had cancer, lymphoma in the third stage. They took pictures, and my whole body was just plastered, my lymph nodes and everything, the growth in my stomach. And that was a trial. I mean, when somebody tells you, the medical tells you that. But the Lord has brought us through, brought me through those trials. And those things, each one of them has strengthened me in my faith. And I believe that the results of those, because I'm cancer-free, I mean, I've been 5 years checking, and that is, there's no cancer in my body. And I just really feel that I know that the Lord is talking about how you're talking about how you get and receive after you go through those kind of trials. But I know a closer walk in my faith was so much deeper, and my roots were so much deeper in my relationships with the Father and Jesus and that Holy Spirit.
Amen. What a great, great testimony, Brother George. Thank you for sharing that. Hold on the line with me. We're going to go to another call, 479-855. This looks like Pastor Ken or Peggy. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast.
Well, good morning, Pastor. You're right on the mark again. I don't think a day goes by you're not on the mark when you're talking and sharing the stuff, the things that are going on. Yeah, I just like to make one observation listening to the people and the talking that's going on. If they talk about a bottle of water that it's half full or is it half empty, and that sometimes needs to be our perception of what God is doing. You know, why are all these trials and tribulations coming upon us? Is it because God wants to punish us? Or is it because God wants us to come back and turn back to him and get in right standing with him? And each of us has to make that decision. But I really believe that all the things that are happening is to go ahead and awaken us to see where we really are, and that we need to turn back to Him, to come back into His love, into His soul, and into His understanding. And it is really not His true intent to punish us, but rather to bring us back to Him, so that we can be in glory and praise and thanksgiving, and have a mindset that's set to worship and praise Him and glorify Him no matter what coming down. So it's just an observation that and I think each of us has to make that decision, is to decide why and where we are and what is going on.
Well, absolutely. I would totally agree. And always knowing that regardless of what the trial is, Father's intention, according to Hebrews chapter 12, and I just want to read this. It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and this is a tough one, but it does say, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives." And that word actually does carry, and this is not to be contradictory, but it does carry the word punishment. God will punish His kids, but not with the satanic kind of punishment to do evil. This is obviously a chastisement for our good. And then verse 7, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons," which means simply you're illegitimate. So, yeah, I understand that it's exactly what God is telling us, that we must endure the discipline and the chastening of the Lord. He's doing it for our good, but He always has an end result in mind. And so, Kathy, George, Pastor Ken, your final thoughts before we get going here. I've got to get over to Patricia. Anybody else have a final thought before we go?
Yes, I do. Okay?
Yes, please.
This is the Word of God, and it's in Isaiah 60, 1 and 2. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." Praise God, it's coming. And I know that even now, I'm going into places, stores and stuff like that, and I see this on people. And I said to Ken, I says, "Oh, that young man that just checked us out, there was something about him." Sure enough, as I got into conversation, he was a follower of Jesus Christ. So the glory of God is coming through His people. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. Pastor Ken or George, a final word.
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Amen, Pastor. Elder George, God bless your heart, sir. Pastor Ken, anything, final words?
We are ready for another day, and praise the Lord that we can glorify and praise Him in all things.
Amen, and everything is for our good. You are absolutely right. The devil would like to make us think God wants to do things for evil, but He's not. He's doing it all for our good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for me. We've run out of time. Patricia Joy Xavier is going to continue the dialogue, but I'm going to leave you with a song by Keith Green, and we're just going to ask the Lord to bless that moment right now as I go out. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, shalom, God bless. Enjoy this beautiful song by Brother Keith.
hello, hello. What a beautiful, beautiful ministry of truth in Pastor Vincent's word that he just gave on his program. Can we praise the Lord that we can understand truly that the trials and tribulations we have been going through is to make us pure and holy like our Jesus, to be like him. This is the Father's will that it be done. And those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Do we want endurance to the end? Oh, you may say, yes, I do, but I don't know how I'm going to get there. Well, you've been told a little bit, just keep going on and continue in faith no matter what the circumstance, and then you come to a place. And that's what I want to talk to you about. What place is that? That place is in 1 John 5:18, one of my most favorite scriptures. And it speaks in this manner. We know, this is a knowing, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Now I am of the persuasion that everything that afflicts us and comes against us is because there has been an open door of sin that God wants to deal with within our lives. And it is caused by the hand of the enemy, because the Lord has made it to be that way when he, by his power, said, let there be light. There was already darkness. You see, and so darkness has been created by Almighty God from the very whatever that beginning is, though we realize at times that there is now no real beginning, no real end, it's a continuum. But we come to a place in infinity, you and I. And that time is very important. And it is a time such as this that we no longer will continue in sin, as spoken of in the book of Romans 6. And we will consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. And we become changed and made into his image. So let me read this one more time to you. 1 John 5:21, for all who are willing to continue and endure to the end, and the end is going to be unbelievable, but we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, born again, keeps himself, watches his heart, thoughts and mind. And that wicked one, who is that wicked one? The devil. That wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. But we will not. We shall not. And so we understand that there was a letter written by John, the apostle, that stimulates an infirmity and a truth, and that this surmise is incredible. And let us now look at how we can get that accomplished. All right, you say, Patricia says, God sins not. Of God, that person sins not. Yes, God sins not, but the person who loves God will sin not, because he's begotten of God. There will be that moment in time that we are coming to, and that is the reason we have built the Omega Station. We want to bring the truth of what God has in mind for us to such a climax of reality in the Christian heart that it could never be denied. We don't want it to be denied, because there are great and wonderful things that lie ahead for us. Let me read something from the desk of Steve Schultz. I just came across this from someone in Florida, and I want you to hear it. And then I want you to make a decision on why it is so incredible to keep ourselves, to watch ourselves, to make sure we're in the right way. For some people are startled and amazed that God is going to do a new thing. He's doing it now. And what is he doing? He's beginning to reveal unto us mysteries. And how is he revealing these mysteries? He's teaching us about the truth of deliverance. And he's also teaching us about the amazement of the Bible in the Old Testament to bring forth the type and shadow of what is happening today. And we are startled sometimes, occasion, and the importance of the truth of using numbers in Scripture as Hebrews did in Israel during the time that the Old Testament was being brought forth from generation to generation. God uses numbers for a purpose and a reason. And just recently, he has used the number 818 to be what this man calls a super meaningful number. And why is it a super miracle number? Well, let's look at it. Let's read it. And this was, by the way, meaningful very much even yesterday and now more so today. It can be said that God is not playing games with numbers. Knowing the end from the beginning, God has orchestrated numbers and the meaning of numbers to prophesy what he wanted to say. Not a prediction, but a prophecy. Now, when we need it most, God is prophesying wealth and prosperity through numbers 818. And here we come to August 18th. In the year 2018. Oh, come on. Something wonderful is ready to happen. And that's why we're getting information about overcoming the work of the evil one and being happy that we went through the trials we have gone through so we can begin to have prophetic utterances of prosperity brought to us and fulfilled in us. And it's calling in August 18th in the year of 2018 to happen. Now, we're going to have to judge it. All prophecy needs to be judged. So I am going to say to Steve Schultz, we're going to judge this prophecy. And hopefully it will be correct. And it can be said that God is not playing games. He's going to tell us the truth with numbers. Now, August 18th in the year of 2018, he says that God is prophesying wealth and prosperity through numbers 818, and we here will come to August 18th in the year 2018. It will be a people that are on the earth now and loves God, has been born again, and he who is born again keeps himself, so that these wonderful prophetic words will be able to come into our lives, that we would stand strong as the people of God in a time of devastation. And that devastation even has to do with the economy. Now, come on. Do you think this is a coincidence or do you think this is true? Well, add your faith to August 18th this year and don't doubt. Don't doubt, but test. Watch the tiniest signs on that date and don't be shocked when you see them. So on August 18th, 2018, enjoy what God is saying and doing. He says, I certainly plan on doing that. This gentleman, Steve Schultz, would you join me? Will you? Well, let's see, Steve, what God has to say through you if this is a true prophetic word. John. This is an amazing word of encouragement that the Lord has for the month of August 2018. And there is a unique and remarkable grace that needs to be connected to by faith intentionally, and the practical rewards for it will be great. much-delayed economic payback will be evidenced, and it will be another manifestation of the justice of God in this extended season of his justice. I was told that there was an 818 grace, and was led to look up several 818 scriptures. And this gentleman came out astonished at how this theme was interwoven in a seemingly divine setup for this time, as 818s only come every 100 years. They only come every 100 years. Now, it was told that 100 years ago, and there is enough evidence for it, that the world order, people of the world order, bankers, globalists, 100 years ago had made the plan that this time within the 100-year period in which we're in now will be a time where the economy of this world be totally turned upside down and changed. But we have to remember something in that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. This is me speaking now. So if this is true, as scriptures of 818 only come every 100 years, it may be the time of switch and change where the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. That's what I'm speaking. And I believe this gentleman is saying, being led by the Holy Spirit to this discovery for today is quite relevant. The scriptures in 818, all scriptures that are of the 8th chapter and the 18th verse, will look at, and especially in Deuteronomy 8:18, especially in Joshua 8:18, 2 Chronicles 8:18, Proverbs 8:18, Luke 8:18, and Acts 8:18. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy 8:18. God gives you the power to gain wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. So this gentleman is saying that Deuteronomy 8:18 is the word in which God has given, and that we'll go on to see the completion of this. He says this, I think he means the month August in the 18th day. Yes, that's what it is, in 2018. And he goes on to say, this is a time to really engage with this truth. Wealth is not of the devil. Satan comes to steal. The Bible tells us, additionally, if poverty were a godly virtue, it would exist in heaven. It doesn't. God does have a purpose for us gaining prosperity, and it reestablishes his original covenant with Abraham, which was a covenant all about prosperity. God is generous, and he wants his kids who align with him and look to him to experience the reward of this. That's why the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Okay, now let's look at Joshua 8:18 and what that says. It's time to win and recover where you lost. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. Israel had just suffered their first promised land defeat, losing in a battle at Ai. This had happened because Achan had disobediently taken off the spoils of Jericho. Joshua 7:21, admitting, saying this, I coveted, he took a beautiful Babylonian garment as well as silver and gold, and this representatively speaks of disobedience. Immediately linking with mammon and using its covering. Wow, I just was shown something. And it was said by Pastor Vincent, our call in number begins with 818. That not unbelievable? Body of Christ, we have something going here. This is something that we really need to take a look at. Oh my goodness. Let's go on. 818-369-0326. Our call-in number begins with 818. You know what? I didn't even think of that when I brought this forward to you. This is a confirmation. Body of Christ, it's time we get on the bandwagon. It's time we begin to really believe. It's time we grab hold of faith. Oh, my goodness, what a confirmation that is. Let's move on with this. This is a representative speech of disobediently linking with mammon and using its covering, its Babylonian garment, and greed. You see, greed has been a problem. I coveted. That's a problem, to gain wealth. That's not the way it's going to happen. The Lord was giving another opportunity, even to gain wealth at a place where they had been ruined, i.e. means heap of ruins. What followed was that Israel successfully took the city of Ai. Now, Joshua 8:27 tells us that Israel then took the livestock and the spoil, meaning the riches, of the city as booty for themselves. It is so kind and merciful that God redeems a situation, even though it was their sin that led it to the place it originally found the loss. So whatever we did wrong in the past that caused the loss, maybe we did things of using usury where God says not to. We overstated our commitment and our card by using our cards and getting ourselves into debt too many times, too often, or we made choices financially that were wrong and it caused us much difficulty. But even in our sin nature, because we have gone through the trial, because we have gone through the testing and overcome with a joy in staying in faith, even now we will not lose. So apply that for your situation right now. God considers it unjust any time the enemy steals from you, even if it was by your fault that the door opened. But what we want is no more open doors. Can we say yes and amen? Again, let's look at 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. So we're going to begin to do right with our finances. We are going to do what is absolutely called by God to do. We are going to handle our finances correctly according to his will, because now God is saying, you have overcome, you have gone through the testing. Now the open door is for you if you will stand in faith, regardless of what happened in the past. Stretch out your spear, pointing at your eye, and let God strategically allow you to recover and beyond that to prosper. His economic justice is not just for where you were perfect, but where you invited back in. And when you kept your faith through your trials and tribulations, you invited him back in. Now let's look at 2 Chronicles 8:18. Unbelievers will give to kingdom projects. Now, listen carefully, because what we're doing on Omega Radio, that is kingdom projects. We are doing kingdom projects for the world. This goes all over the world. The airwaves are all over the world from Omega Radio. They are listening everywhere. And here is what 2 Chronicles 8:18 says. And Hiram went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir and acquired 450 talents of gold from there and brought it to King Solomon. All right. What a great 818 passage. Hiram was king of Tyre, a foreigner. He represents those unbelievers or pre-believers who are moved upon to bless us. 450 talents of gold is roughly a half of $1 billion. No small amount. Precipitated the Queen of Sheba coming to Solomon to see the grandeur of the temple and everything else Solomon was prospering in. Ophir is this famous and almost mythical place of limitless wealth that was opened up to David and Solomon. As we are building the house of God on earth, the kingdom, which we are working on diligently at this time, in Omega Radio, it connects us to the long prophesied transfer of wealth, which I have been speaking of. So be about the kingdom of God, and you'll see all these things will be added to you in Matthew 6. So the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Bring it into the kingdom. Bring it into the kingdom, and you will be blessed beyond your fondest imagination. This is not the stock market. This is the economy of heaven that is greater than any stock market on the face of this earth, no matter how many billions of dollars or trillions are going through it. By dishonest means, most of the time, the heavenly economy is way beyond trillions. It's unlimitless. We have it all. The Bible says God has given us all things and all things to enjoy. It is limitless, but your faith cannot be limited to receive what is limitless. Do you understand? Do not limit God. Bring in all your offerings, all your tithe, everything you can give into it. I know people and heard them speak. They give 90% of their income and keep 10% for themselves, and they are way above what they even desired to be. Why? They tapped into the economy of God. Let's look at Proverbs 8:18. Riches are from him. Riches and honor are with me, says the Lord, enduring riches and righteousness. It's truly remarkable. Truly remarkable is the continued 818 theme of wealth, and it is quite self-explanatory in the passage. If you continue reading the subsequent verses, it gets really powerful, as in verses 20 and 21, it talks of him being, here it goes, in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Wow, what a word. As much as he does want our wealth gaining connected to a kingdom purpose, another big truth is that he does just want to shower with wealth those who love him. And he feels as a tangible expression of his love back to them. That's how I feel when you give to Omega Radio by sending $20. Only $20 is what I requested. Maybe it should be much more. To Decatur, Arkansas, P.O. Box 100. Pastor Vincent Xavier, and my expression in return, my tangible expression of love back, is to send my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, which will help us all to come to this place where we will know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. We will be able to walk in that arena, that ability. But that he that is begotten of God keeps himself. I will teach you how to keep yourself. And that wicked one, Satan, cannot touch you or I. This is the word that is in the book that I wrote. And I am so desiring to send that to you. So the Lord is saying, in other words, he is giving because he is by nature generous. And I want to experience that same generosity in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now look at Luke 8:18. Past generosity and stewardship determines future abundance. Future abundance. Again, past generosity. Oh, where did my money go? I gave, I see nothing. Past generosity and stewardship. You have to be a good steward of your finances. Determines future abundance. And here's the scripture in Luke 8:18. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And to him who does not have, even that what he seems to have will be taken from him. What are we learning in this? We learn from the parable of the talents. God considers not using, bearing what you have as not having, and sees generosity and stewardship as having. The truth for us for this time is God is saying that this August of 2018 is one of those times when he is making these determinations of more will be given. And now, one other, before the time closes, Acts 8:18, which is saying don't prostitute power to gain wealth. What does that mean? And when Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered money, saying, give me this power also. Hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts 8:18 through 19. The emphasis was of John when he said that, this man who wrote this article. Okay, one more time. Again, another 8:18 passage on money matters. There are a number of applicable messages depending on if you are Peter or Simon. You make that choice. Are you of the kind of character of Peter, or are you of the kind of character of Simon? Perhaps it is not coincidental that Peter was also known as Simon Peter. We have two Simons, and one is wanting to do a wrong mix of riches and the power of the Holy Spirit, and one has it right, and this will be relevant and applicable to some of you. Conclusion. Let's conclude now. There is an 818 economic number, and that 818 economic number, believe it or not, my husband, Pastor Vincent Xavier, just told me that when you call our number with 818, that's the code number 369-0326, 818-369-0326. How incredible is that? Well, body of Christ, I think he's moving in our direction at a time where all else is falling apart at the seams. Grab on to what he has for you, as I will. God bless you and have a most wonderful day. This is Patricia Xavier.